Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, welcome to Nobody Panic, the podcast where we help you just sort through some things and help you live without screaming all the time. I'm Stevie, and I'm sorry, Tessa, but my co-host here has an absolutely excellent piece of news to share, which is forming the basis of this entire episode. Tessa, please.
My adult thing this week is that I have qualified as a volunteer vaccinator to be part of the vaccine rollout program. So I finished my training, which has been 20 hours of face-to-face and then 50 hours of online training. So I've done a bit. And then I start in a couple of weeks and I'll be in the vaccine centres. I'm very excited.
Administering the vaccine.
Administering the vaccine.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, we said it as my adult thing last time and thought we'd do an episode all about what I've learned and what the vaccine means. And I know a lot of people are going to be getting their call up in the soonish future. So just to put anybody who's afraid for all kinds of different reasons about like what it involves or needles or actually getting the injection or side effects or any of those things, and hopefully make people feel a bit calmer and more confident about the whole thing.
We had an email that I thought was really interesting. Molly emailed us. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Molly.
Now, I'm probably going to mispronounce this. I think it's trypanophobia or trypanophobia, which is a fear of needles. But she's saying here that, I wonder if you had any tips or advice on this, as around 10% of the population suffer with it. And as someone who would like to get the vaccine, but currently it just feels utterly impossible at the moment, some advice would be amazing. And to be fair to Molly, when we did the episode last week and it was your adult thing, the way that it was presented was very much like, ha ha, Tess is just going to be given a needle and she'll be jabbing it into everyone's arms. Like, that's not what is happening. What we've decided to do and what we're really going to be very careful to do is to be really honest rather than dumb things down for comedic effect, which is what we tend to do, and that is our default. But Tessa has done, you've done a lot of you've been trained fully, and of course, yes, having a fear of needles but also wanting the vaccine, very, very difficult, because obviously it's two, isn't it? So you've got your one and then you've got your gap and then you've got your second one, so that's very, very difficult. And before we get into it, I just want to make it really clear that we aren't like medical experts. I mean, I know nothing, but we aren't medical experts. So Tessa, you'll be talking from your capacity as a vaccine giver, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, the World Health Organization.
Absolutely.
If you're listening across the world, we are talking about the United Kingdom vaccine. I mean, I'm sure it's quite similar elsewhere, but we can't speak to that, because we don't live there. So I'm going to ask you some questions. And then hopefully when you go to get the jab, you'll, because there are already, when we were talking about doing this, there were things that I didn't know happened. And there were things that I've just suddenly realized, like, I've not had mine yet. And I've no really idea what to expect at all. I'm sort of going off the BCG. That's mm-hmm. what I'm sort of seeing it as, which was something that was like, probably one of the seminal moments in my childhood where everyone lost their minds, and it wasn't when it actually happened, it was nowhere near as bad as the, I remember age 7 being told I was going to have it at 14 and being like, well, I've got 7 years. And then as it got closer, it was like, oh my God, we're getting closer to the BCG day. and then seeing that, you know, like, oh, I'm not immune, I'm going to have it. And the actual reality was not as bad. As with most medical things, it's never as bad as what you think it's going to be or what you're imagining in your head about what is happening. So Tessa, tell us about the training. Tell us about what you learn and how you, tell us about your journey from just like a fun woman looking to help and maybe like entertain the crowds as they wait to go into the vaccine tent to being a vaccinator.
Thank you, Stevie, so much for asking me. Yes, so there are three roles you can do in the vaccine centres. You can do the meet and greet at the beginning, which is just signposting people and welcoming people and ticking people's name on a form and checking their ID. There's the actual administering the vaccine, and then there's a 15-minute waiting area afterwards where people are just being observed just in case you have any side effects whatsoever, which I must say are extraordinarily rare, but that happens with all vaccines. You have to be observed just in case. So those are one of your three jobs. And I just signed up to do a meet and greet and my type five in the queue. And then it turned out they were like, do you want to also sign up to do administer the vaccine? And I, like many people listening, were like, sorry, and anyone's just allowed to do that. But actually you do so much training. You really do understand exactly what you're doing. And because it is going intramuscular, which means it's just going into the top of your arm in your deltoid muscle, it is not a vein. It's not like going in using a drip. It's not any of those things. It's not something where you are. It is really, really hard for it to go wrong, basically.
Yeah, like I see. You're not looking for a tiny little bit in somebody's arm.
No.
You're looking for just the expanse of arm, essentially.
Yeah. It's like you've got a whole arm. It's almost impossible. Like it really is. And as she says now, it's almost impossible, but like it is really very tricky for that to be a problem for you to mess that up in any way for somebody. Like you're mm-hmm. not doing any kind of, you know, if it was, you know, they wouldn't be letting people who weren't doctors do it if it was going into veins, if it was doing any of that sort of thing. It's because it's going into the muscle that they're allowing volunteers to do it. But it's not just like rock up and be like, do you fancy a go? Like you really do have to go through so much training to do it. You have to go through all these exams to understand what both of the vaccines, the components of the vaccine are, like how they're made, like how everything happens. And also you aren't putting the vaccine together. It's given to you in a syringe. Like you're only in charge of administering it. Like it is, I just want to put your, any fears that like anybody who's giving it to you will be a kook. Like, and I
there's no kooks.
There's no kooks involved.
It's a kook-free zone.
You're not allowed to pass the exam, like if you behave like a kook. No kooks here is what I'm saying. Like people will really, really know what they're doing. And I'm truly sorry, Molly, if I made you more worried about the whole situation. Like it is so fine, and it is really, people really, really know what they're doing.
Well, you've been practicing, because I remember a few days ago, well, when you said that you had passed, I was like, did you practice on a melon? But you practiced on a fake arm. That's correct.
Yeah, you get this specially made arm thing that's like designed, made to feel like it's got all the right levels of skin, it's got all the right levels of muscle, it's got all the things so it feels exactly like a human arm, and it's there for you to practice like getting everything correct. But again, like because it's muscular, like it is tricky to do wrong, basically.
So what can people expect when they go to get their vaccine? Like, how do you find your nearest vaccine place? Is it on the letter and everything?
Absolutely. So I've had mine now, everybody. You get a text saying, heads up, your vaccine, you're due for your vaccine. And you think, oh, hello, very exciting. And so I was... I'm way too young. Excuse me. This is so young to be so soon. But I was, because we were part of the vaccine, you, as a volunteer vaccinator, you have to go for it. And you get a text. It's being like, follow this link. And it just tells you where your nearest vaccination center is. And some of them will be in sports halls or in town halls, or mostly they're in a official medical center. And you just say like, here's the list of all the possible times. When do you want to show up? You pick your time and off you go. And it's so unbelievably, because it is the NHS and because it is a volunteer rolled out program, because no one there is getting paid, it is so efficient and so well done. And everyone is smiling, and it's really a lovely day out. And so there are people in high vis jackets when you get there. He'll say, have you got an appointment? You just join a little queue, and in you go, and you sign your name, and they check you off on the list. And then you go into a little waiting area, and then you go in and see your person in a little booth. And if, you know, if you're concerned about any kind, like going in, and if you've been shielding for a long time, you're concerned about going in, it is so unbelievably COVID safe. Everything has to be changed between every single person who comes in, like all your gloves, absolutely everything. It's, we have to wipe everything down. Everybody who's been in there has been vaccinated. So like it could not be a safer place to be. And also if you are worried about getting it, you can take somebody with you. So you're allowed to have literally anybody can come and sit with you. There are two chairs in there.
A therapy toucan,
your emotional support dog. Like anybody can come in with you and hold your hand and be there. And that's absolutely fine.
Are they aware that, I mean, I'm sure they are, but are they aware that people will be frightened of needles?
100%. And a big part of it is about helping people to relax and making sure that you put your arm in your lap so it's bent at an angle, and that you don't, you know, because like trying to be as relaxed as possible so your muscles aren't tense. And it's all about like chatting to the person and making sure everybody feels confident and calm, but also like that this is not compulsory. Like if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And if you get there and it's all too much, you can say like, can I come back a different time? You know, like there's nothing anyone can do to make you get this thing. So like you don't have to go through it. So don't feel it's like being, you won't at any point be like dragged through there and then like held down. Like if you say,
or made to feel, or made bad to feel for crying, or
no, you know. Like I when I sat in there and he was like, are you very nervous? And I was like, no, I'm really keeping it together and being very brave. And he was like, that's okay. Like you don't have to lie. Like it's scary. And then I was like, okay, I feel nervous. And he was like, that's all right. We've got all the time in the world. Like no one is rushing you. No one is going to force you out of there. No one's going to force it to go too quickly. Like it's not going to be a sort of brutal regime. It's for you. It's your time.
Is it over very quickly?
It's over so unbelievably quickly. I don't have what Molly has, this horrible phobia of them, but I really like don't like them. And it is over so unbelievably quickly. And apart from the bit where you can feel, they say like it's a sharp scratch, you won't feel anything else. And I was like, don't be absurd. But you honestly, it is the tiniest feeling of honestly like your fingernail scratching your skin.
Yeah.
It isn't in a way that, you know, that's, you know, having some horrible invasive thing at the dentist or in your mouth or like some other area that you're like, but I can feel it inside my body. Like you physically can't feel it, and it is over. It's so speedy and so quick that you'll be like, oh, it's done. That's also honestly how you'll feel.
I found as well that, so when I was young, I don't know how old you are, Molly, or anyone listening who has the fear of needles. And then also as well, it's very difficult, isn't it? Because with phobias, all I want to do is say the right thing to make that go away. So mm-hmm. you don't have that feeling. Of course, there's nothing that we can say that hasn't been said to you a million times. They are frightening. And I get very frightened when I've had situations where I've had like cervical smears, and then they've been like, and now we're having a biopsy. You're going to have a needle in your cervix. And you know that moment, and it's like, oh, you just panic. It's pure panic, like covered in sweat. It is terrifying. I've noticed really quickly, actually, that the needles, as it's gone on, as I've gone on living and having the odd needle, they've got thinner, finer, finer and finer mm-hmm. and finer. We always form these memories, don't we, of experiences that we've had as when we were younger, and already that technology has moved on. So it's not what you're thinking it is based on, you know, previous experience as being a child, as having your BCG, as having other vaccines or having jabs and stuff when you were younger. These things are designed to administer it as painlessly as possible. And it is, of course, it's the thought of them, but it's like the moment you are engaged with what's happening, it's over.
Yeah. The anxiety is 1,000 times worse than after it. You built yourself up into this, you know, the fear of it all is just so completely overwhelming and all consuming. And then actually when it's done, you're like, oh, the actual thing itself wasn't it. I mean, that's obviously how fear and that's exactly how phobia works. So it's unhelpful to be like, well, that's the bit. And you're like, yeah, I know. Also, if you are super scared, as soon as you get there, just say the first people that you see when you're being signed in, just say, I'm really scared. Like, I really don't want to do this. I'm here. I've shown up. I'm being as brave as I can, but I'm really scared. And they will say, no problem at all. So everyone's aware of it. And they'll say like, let's make sure this person gets to see, you know, the most senior person or this person or whatever. Like there are, even though there are volunteers there, they are outnumbered, significantly outnumbered by the number of doctors and HCPs, healthcare practitioners, who are all there, like everything's under constant supervision. Like the volunteers are just there to like make the process move at speed because nothing has ever been done on this mass scale before. But there are so many people there. And if you are in any way nervous, there are so many people to talk you through it. And also just to say, like, I'm nervous to be up to, then people will know to like, that you might need more time, that you want to go in this area, yeah, that you need to see this person. So like people are absolutely, like, it's a really scary thing. And everybody's feeling really variations of exactly the same level of like trepidation. So if you just tell them there and make sure you have somebody with you and know that like you can spend as long as you need in there and it's going to be ultimately fine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I know this year has felt very, people being very horrible to other people, mm, and people being afraid of everyone in the street and people, you know, a lot of sort of like, you wear your mask, you wanker. You know, there's been a, but that the actual vaccine centre will be maybe one of the like nicest places you've been all year. Like everyone is really jolly. There's a real focus on like, on positivity and that no one should feel afraid and that, you know, and but because people, I know, but because people are volunteers, like there is just a very jolly, it's jolly in there, you know.
Yeah. Also, as you know, I obviously do want to, you know, that there are reasons why people don't want to get the jab beyond having needles. But unfortunately, mm-hmm, if you don't believe in vaccinations, I don't think we're able to convince you otherwise. So if you are listening, yeah, being like, but vaccines, they're going to be putting 5G in my arm or a chip or it's just not
we
safe or
physically
it is
can't
safe.
Get the microchip into your arm. We simply, yeah, don't have the skills. And if I may, we don't want to. We don't need to get that microchip in you.
And also, this is the thing. You don't need to because we're all tracking you on your phones anyway. So
yeah, if
no
you've
point.
Got a telephone, don't worry about the microchip.
Yeah, well, there is this fear, isn't there? And I understand it because when it first sort of became announced that the vaccine was coming and when it would be rolled out, mm, and it was going to be obviously very soon, even I, absolutely pro-vax, was like, oh, that feels incredibly
quick.
Fast. But
that feels
fast. There's been no other time in our lifetime where every scientist who could was working on the same thing. Like,
absolutely.
Of course, there's been, you know, lots of breakthroughs and stuff with other things, but they're like departments. This is every single scientist that could contribute did. Or tried to, or wanted to.
Exactly.
So that's why it was fast, obviously. But of course, that doesn't help when, you know, we're living in an age of misinformation.
Of course, it definitely feels scary. And definitely every reasonable person has been like, what, already? Already, yeah, we've got one, have we? But it is exactly as Steve says, like, there has never been a time like this in history in which everybody has been working on something at the same time and being able to, like, share information, to be, you know, doing it at speed like this. And also the clinical trials, the phase one, phase two and phase three of the trials that, again, I know people are concerned hasn't had time to happen, have been happening concurrently as opposed to one after another, which is what has allowed the program to be speeded up. It's simply that like corners haven't been cut. It's simply that like money was there to support research, to support science when people said like, I need more cash for this, or I need more volunteers, or I need more support, instead of the government being like, no, we're busy with something else.
Well, there's always something else to do, isn't there?
Whereas literally nothing, because every government in every country said, yeah, here it is, here's everything that you need. And so what we're seeing is just what science is capable of when there is complete global support of something.
Yeah.
So if
next,
that is
climate
concern,
change, guys, am I right?
Right? So imagine if we sort of put our collective minds to something with this much effort and we put money and support and on all of those things behind it. But listen,
back to the actual vaccine. Is there anything more that you would like to tell us about the process, or do you want to move on to what happens afterwards?
Certainly.
How it felt like when you were having it, or you know, whatever, anything.
When I had a lovely chat with Mike, my vaccinator. Mm-hmm. And yes, you just feel it like a tiny little scratch. And I know it sounds like I'm making something bad sound less than it is, but I mean, like, it's just a tiny little scratch and then it's over, like it's nothing. And then you're like, tiny little scratch, that bitch. But like, it really did just feel like this. You felt the skin, but then you didn't feel anything else. I genuinely said, what? And that's it, is it? And then I'd walk there, so I didn't have to sit in the observation area because I didn't drive the car. I didn't come on a bike. And so I was signed off. And I went mm-hmm. home, and then they do say that there may be some, you may not feel great in the 24 hours afterwards. And that's not been hugely publicized, but I think it's good to know that you might be absolutely fine. You might feel absolutely nothing.
Yeah. My mum felt absolutely, she had a slight ache on her arm. That was it. Like, she didn't feel bad at all, which mm-hmm. I thought was really interesting, because I think, did you say that you had some?
Yeah. And equally, like, my dad, absolutely nothing, felt golden. My mum, in bed for 12 hours. So like, right. It's, and they had the same shot at exactly the same time. And so it really just affects different people in different ways. And I was like, oh, I'm absolutely golden. And then at like midnight, I got it at 12 o'clock. So 12 hours later at midnight, I was like, oh my Lord. And it really came out of nowhere. It came on very fast, and it also leaves very quickly. It felt like I had a terrible headache and very sort of feverish and hot and cold, and basically just had to like go to bed for a while. But then it just sort of felt like a terrible, terrible hangover, basically. And that
the thing is that that's really good to know, because I think if I'd have had it, the idea that I could have had it and then been like, and then 12 hours later felt like that, I would have been like, oh my God, I'm dying.
Oh my God, I'm dying. Exactly. Like, oh my God, if I hadn't known my mum sort of went through it, and therefore what happened to me, I was like, yes, I feel, you know, when she was sort of video calling me from the bed and looked like a piece of paper, I was like, yeah, I feel like you looked then. Mm. And then I also saw you like bound out of bed 12 hours later, be like, that's done actually. So like, if I hadn't known that, I would have been much more concerned. So I do be aware that it might happen, and also that it really will pass. Once you ride through it, and then it'll just like go very quickly, and you'll be like, I can't believe how ill I was like an hour ago. It's literally your T cells learning to fight something. So like your whole immune system is like much in the same way that the world scientists have all been focusing on this. Everything in your body is also focused there, and so they're like, oh God, haven't got time for anything else.
So taking a day off what you're doing and not exactly pushing through is probably very important, isn't it? If you need to go to bed, if you don't feel like a little bit ill, treat it like treat it with respect, because it's your body learning to fight. So give it all of the resources it can possibly, get rid of everything else so your body can focus on it, rather than being like, no, I've got to do some PR, some marketing in my job. No, have a day off.
Just be like, plan, because you can, yeah, just be like, this is when I'm getting my vaccine, and then say to work, I'm taking this day off. I've just had the vaccine. And, you know, and if it doesn't happen, if there's no side effects, listen, you got yourself a free day. If it did, you're ready to hunker down and go to bed. But there's absolutely nothing to worry about. And a real concern is that, like, how will I, if you feel sick, how will you know that it's the vaccine side effect rather than actually that you've got COVID? Very reasonable. Their symptoms will be completely separate. And what you're experiencing is this sort of feverish thing of your body's immune system just going into overdrive, attempting to fight something. It's not, you haven't got COVID.
So if it doesn't, is there a cutoff point where, so say, for example, if the symptoms continue beyond a certain time?
3 days.
Three days. Okay.
So if it's still awful after 3 days, then you can then take yourself back to the doctors. But before, up until that point, it's like, yeah, you're probably just having a, you're just, your body is fighting and you're not having a great time, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
Great. I mean, it's very helpful. It's very helpful hearing about it from somebody who has not only had it, but also is doing it. Is there anything else to add?
I think if you are worried, firstly, that my email, if you have any questions, genuinely, more than happy to answer them. Come find me on Twitter or email in. I'll happily answer anything. And the other thing is that, like, if you truly are worried about it for any of the different reasons, you could always sort of go through this, what I've been through, and sort of go through the, not the full process, but, you know, there is sort of so much volunteer information out there. And once you sort of take the sort of online learning, and as soon as you sort of start to understand it, everything becomes so much clearer and less scary and more like, and more achievable. And you think like, oh, okay, yeah, I really get it now. And it's not this sort of inconceivable thing. You're like, okay, I understand the science. I really get all of this. So if the unknown is the part that's scary, then I truly recommend that. I truly felt that like the NHS is like the online learning portal. Every page, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Like that's been explained clearer and better than like anything I've seen in the news, you know, certainly better than I've seen on, you know, my uncle's Facebook page, you know, like it's...
That's interesting.
Because still that's been the main source of information. No, it was just, everything is like sort of so clearly explained and laid out in a way that I think what I would genuinely recommend, you don't actually have to do the volunteering bit, but if you wanted to just to sign up to access that, just to be like, okay, this is really, there's so much here. There's a wealth of information.
Yeah, so arm yourself with information. Also as well, like, relax. I know it sounds an absolutely pointless thing to say, but anything that you know that you can do to help yourself relax, do it. Like, you know, all hands on deck. And don't worry if you're tense or if you're nervous, because people are nervous. They are trained to vaccinate people who are frightened about being vaccinated. And also, it's so great if you want to be vaccinated but you're frightened, and you still, if you end up going and doing it, that's such a great thing that you're doing. Like, it's a really good thing that you're doing, despite the fact that you are frightened. And I know that, you know, having phobias of needles and having to have a needle is unthinkable, and it's scary. But if you can do it, you know, it's a really good thing to do. And as you said, Tessa, the process of actually having it, it's not on the scale of things, it's not a particularly bad needle. There are worse, you know.
Oh my God, there's worse. Yeah.
And yeah, really helpful to know about the possible after effects as well. So, you know, if you can, get it in your arm.
Yeah.
And don't worry, there aren't just people off the street. Like, these are people, like, Tessa has been trained. She's been given a fake arm, for God's sake.
Listen, I'm so good at that fake arm.
The government can't chance this
rollout
being bad. They're one thing they've done right.
No, exactly. And they're doing it right because the NHS is in charge of it. Like, they are not taking any chances here. They are taking this so seriously. Our training was so rigorous and intense. And also, I was just thinking, there was a case study in one of our things about, you know, people being nervous about somebody who, it can feel worried. The bit that can feel overwhelming is that you're sat in the sort of waiting area and then your number gets called and now you have to get up and walk into this scary thing. And, you know, and the sort of walking into your booth was felt very overwhelming. And this person in the case study felt they couldn't, you know, just couldn't, was sort of frozen to their seat. And their healthcare practitioner came out with the stuff and said, face that way for me. Just don't even look. Don't look at anything. You just stay over there. And, you know, and then got it done without the, you know, sort of without them even. That's the thing about the walking to it, the anxiety of it, the sort of looking at the stuff. You know, it's perfectly possible someone just comes out and is like, no problem, look at the wall. You don't even have to know what's going on.
I don't want to see anything. I think it's very helpful as well. So when you go in, you can be like, I can't see anything. Because some people do want to see stuff. And also, is that like, I've had sometimes when I've had stuff done and it's been like, so this is what we're doing. It's like, I literally don't. Like, I don't want to know what is going where. So that you, if you can't visualize it, then it's a lot easier.
Yeah. And when you do When you do walk in, if you can, they'll sort of call up and be like, why did you tell everyone they could be vaccinated in the waiting area?
But no,
like,
when you do,
I'm just saying, like, the things are there for you. Like, this is such a sort of human focused thing. Like, everyone's just a person, like, trying to go through a scary process. Like, there's so much compassion there. And also when you do go and sit in your little booth and meet Mike or whoever you get as your person, everything that looks scary is away from you. It's in Tupperware, it's in drawers. It's like, you can't actually see anything. So you can sit down and then say, hello, Mike. And now I'm going to turn this way. I don't want to see anything. Like, just you do your job. I want it in this arm. Choose the arm, by the way, that you don't write with, and say, please, you just do your thing. I'm going to shut my eyes and look over here. I'm going to put my hands in my lap, clasp them.
Do some good breathing or distracting of yourself.
Wobble my arms around so they're
calm. Ask Mike some questions just about his day, about how he's been doing, nothing about the actual process. Just chat to him. If they know that you are nervous, they will chat to you. All of those things that, you know, you have to do when you're frightened of needles, you have to do them every time. So this point was me, like, you know, I was going through them because you know yourself what helps you and what doesn't. Well, thank you so much, Tessa. That was very illuminating.
Well, I hope so. I hope it puts people's fears at ease.
when do you start?
I start in 2 weeks. So it's all going to really, it's just really ramping up because people are going into their second doses and they're sort of like rolling out. They've done the elderly, they're really cracking through it. And now, you know,
it's the incredibly young people like myself and you.
The incredibly young are coming in now. The absolute babies.
Like, the babies.
They're like you and me. So I hope some of that is helpful. Please genuinely do get in touch with me if you want any more questions answered.
Yes, it's nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com or at Tessa Coates on Twitter or at nobodypanicpod if you want to just do the Nobody Panic one. Instagram you won't check, so I'm not saying that because
you can give it a go, but it is slow.
No, don't give it a go. I'm at Stevie M, the S is a 5, but don't message me any questions about the vaccine because I can't help you. But yeah, thank you so much. I thought that was interesting and I found it really helpful, and it's nice sometimes to do things that are incredibly relevant. We'll be back next week with some more business.
See you next week, everybody. Or maybe see you at the vaccine center.
Oh, that'd be exciting. It's so funny.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.